I saw a commercial on TV this week for a financial planning company that showed in brief snippets a man's life from birth all the way past retirement. Everything went according to plan. The commercial ended touting the company, of course, and used this tag, "Life well planned." Well, what happens when your plans don't work out? How do you respond when everything seems to be flying apart? We started this triad of messages in Exodus looking at the way God works. He is sovereign. He relates to us through a covenant, a personal relationship with Jesus, and he works through people. Last week we looked at Philippians as Paul looked back over his life. I asked you to think of your life with the analogy of an airplane flight. Where are you headed? How will you land? A good flight, a good life, is not done through self-reliance. So fulfill your life's purpose and never, never, never quit following Jesus. Be single-minded in your devotion to Christ. This morning we're going to look at part of a man's life. You know from the title or from the reference which man that is. Job had everything happen to him, yet he remained faithful. He remained faithful to the Lord. And that is the challenge for you, to remain faithful to the Lord no matter what, even when plans don't work out. We're going to start in Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking and wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone had escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. What do you do when plans don't work out? When plans don't work out, never think God has lost control. Never think God has lost control. Be faithful. God apparently has a council or a cabinet of which Satan was a part, or at least he was able to enter into God's presence. They come and they present themselves to the Lord. Understand this, the Lord is God's covenant name. It's Yahweh. 3 or 4 weeks ago, whenever it was that one of the testimonies about the Bible studies was given, the person said, God is not in the Old Testament in the Hebrew, and he was correct. In fact, they wouldn't even put word names like Yahweh. They might put a YHWH or what? Yeah, that too. Because they wouldn't even say the name. This was God's covenant name. And so Satan's response to the Lord's question of where have you been reveals his rebellion. He said, everywhere in general and nowhere in particular. I've just been roaming the earth, just been trying to figure out, you know, see what's going on. Well, the Lord knew. But understand this too, Satan, the accuser, is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He is not omnipotent. He is not all-powerful. And he is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere. And never forget that Satan is still under God's control. Yes, he has rebelled. Yes, he has been cast out of heaven. But he is still under God's control. And some of the worst theology I've ever heard in my life is when people think that Satan is just roaming loose. Because he is still under God's control. He was there with Job, and he is here today. And so the Lord, he knew where he had been. He knew where he had been, what he had been up to. And the Lord said to Satan, how about Job? Job was a blameless man. He was upright. He feared God, and he turned away from evil. Well, in verse 9, Satan begins asking the questions. He's headed towards permission to put Job through the first big test, the test of wealth. Well, if you keep reading later on, you'll find that in chapter 2, it's the second big thing, and it's health. Why do you think that we call what some of the bad theology that gets preached on Sunday mornings and every other day of the week is called health and wealth prosperity gospel? Well, surely if God is pleased with you, you'll be wealthy. Surely if God is pleased with you, you'll be healthy. Maybe not. Maybe not. So his question is really an accusation. Job only fears you for what he can gain. You've protected him, you've blessed him, you've made him wealthy. And so Satan then challenges the Lord to withdraw that blessing. Satan believed that was why Job was faithful, so just withdraw it and let's see what happens. So verse 13 begins the awful list of all that happened. Attacks and theft and fire and wind. Possessions and workers were lost. But most painful was the loss of family. Even in times like this, even in times like this, never think God has lost control. In his book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, James Dobson tells of hearing a mystery program on the radio. It told the story of a man condemned to solitary confinement in a pitch-black cell. The only thing he had to occupy his mind was a marble, which he would repeatedly throw against the wall, grope around and find it, and do it again. One day he decided that to throw the marble upward, but it failed to come back down. He was so disturbed by the loss of the marble and his inability to explain its disappearance, finally he went berserk. He pulled out his hair and he died. He couldn't understand. When the prison officials came to remove the body, a guard noticed something caught in a huge spider's web in the upper corner of the room. That's strange, the guard thought. How did a marble get up there? As the story illustrates, human perception sometimes poses questions the mind is incapable of answering. But valid answers still exist. Our emotions are even less reliable. Dobson said he believes he has gotten a better idea of who God is and how he interacts with us, especially in these four areas, four specific areas. First, he said that God is present and involved in our lives even when he seems deaf or on an extended leave of absence. And every one of us has thought that very thing. God, where are you? Did you take a break that I didn't think you were going to take a break? Are you deaf? Can't you hear me? Don't you see what's happening? Truth of it is we all struggle with this. We all struggle with that. The second thing Dobson points out is that God's timing is perfect, even when he appears catastrophically late. The third thing that Dobson pointed out is for reasons that are impossible to explain, we human beings are incredibly precious to God. Yeah, I don't know about some of you. Every life is incredibly precious to God. Whether that life consists of two cells in a mother's womb, or is black or brown, red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in his sight. Do you guys know that song? If you don't, you need to learn it. Every life is precious to God. The last thing Dobson points out is your arms are too short to box with God. So don't try it. Dobson closed the chapter, these four reasons were presented in, by saying this: our view of God is too small. Do you feel like God has lost control? He has not. And neither has he betrayed you. Maybe what you see going on around you doesn't make sense. Maybe what you see going on around you isn't what you want. Maybe what you see going on around you, you just think, God, where are you? But he's there, he's here, he's with you. God is still in control, even when plans don't work out. When plans don't work out, never let your circumstances keep you from worshiping. Remain faithful. Job had a good life, or did. Things were working out. Man, everything was good. He was wealthy. He had a large, close family. He seemed to have it made. He had the good life. And so Satan comes with the sons of God, and God asks about Job, and Job had this reputation of being blameless and upright and feared God. And sure, Satan says, you protect him and give him all that. You've bought him off. And so God allows Satan to take it all away. The wealth is stolen or destroyed. The close family is murdered. Job got up. He tore his clothing. He shaved his head. He grieved. He grieved. Then he fell to the ground and worshiped. He didn't accuse the Lord of being unloving or uncaring or weak. He worshiped. He acknowledged God for who he is, the omnipotent creator, sustainer of this world, the one who took on human flesh, willingly submitted himself to the cross, and paid a price by his death that he did not owe, but you and I do. He worshiped. So Job lived this new way, this way of faith. He honored God even in his grief. Nothing was going to keep him from worshiping. Have you ever watched a TV commercial? And they've got this new product, and it'll do this, or it'll do that, and you said, man, I need one of those. Maybe it was the fishing kit that would catch more fish, or the steam cleaner that occupies the closet, but you probably had something that doesn't quite do all that you hoped it would. You bought the pitch, so you bought the goods. But now you're disappointed. You wish you hadn't. Man, I wish I hadn't wasted that money. Is that how you approach the Lord in worship? If God delivers in your circumstances, then you'll worship. If God does what you want Him to do, then you'll worship. Have your kids ever asked why? And you simply, yeah, all this crowd, and you simply said, because. There was more than you could express to them. They wouldn't grasp it. They didn't have a say. So because. God can handle all your questions. God can handle all your questions even after something happens. But to ask why supposes you to be able to understand. And that is elevating your will, your understanding, your wisdom to His. And let me just tell you, you don't have the job qualifications. You don't understand. We cannot see. We are bound by time. We are bound by our limitations. We just don't understand. And Job got up, and he worshiped. If you elevate your will, your understanding to God's, then that is arrogance of the highest order. So live pursuing Christ. Never let your circumstances keep you from worshiping. Do not live a conditional faith, even when plans don't work out. When plans don't work out, always say a good word about the Lord. Remain faithful. This is no promise of a better life, but a promise of a better hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you can say a good word about God, even when it all falls apart. And so Job gave us the essence of living by faith. I came into this world with nothing. That's how much I'm going to take out. I'll go the same. In between, He will give me what He will. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. I trust Him to do what's right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is good. Job was not being fatalistic. Well, whatever will be, will be. He was acknowledging God's goodness. He was acknowledging God's goodness even in the midst of heartache. Job was living by faith. He was living with consistency. God had not lost control, and Job knew it, and he acknowledged it. And through it all, Job did not sin or blame God. In every circumstance, in everything, God has drawn you into intimacy with Him. Live by faith. My philosophy of religion professor in seminary wrote a book called With All Your Mind, A Christian Philosophy. And that's how seminary professors make a little bit more money. They write a book and make all their students buy the book. That's the way it works. In the book, he tells the story of a pastor who preached his wife's funeral. As a young husband headed toward ministry, I remember thinking, there is no way I could preach my wife's funeral. But the pastor spoke of the pain of losing his wife, honestly. But he also said because she loved Jesus so much, he would not want her back and take her away from being in God's presence. Another way we elevate ourselves to the Lord's level is to say, if you do this, I'll do that, but if you don't do this, I won't do that. Do not suppose yourself to his level of understanding. Do not suppose yourself to his level of magnificence. Do not suppose yourself to his level of wisdom, because you aren't there and you never will be. The worst evil can occur to the most devout Christian. What he promises, even in hard times, is the opportunity for you to draw near to him. Is that what you want most of all, to be near him? To draw near to him, to know Christ? That is saying a good word about the Lord. I want to tell you about a Monday about a month ago. Typical Monday, we woke up maybe a little, or at least I woke up a little later. Ate breakfast. My wife went on to the gym. I wasn't feeling real well. So I thought, self, this is what you need to do. Go get your book, lie down on the sofa, and read a while. Some of you know what's going on in our life, in our lives. I just remembered laying there thinking, Lord, I don't want to lose a 34-year-old son. I don't want to lose my son. And I remember thinking 2 years ago, about this time, Lord, I don't want to lose a grandson. Can I tell you what I'll do if or when either of those two things happen? I'm going to do much like Job. I may not tear my clothing, nor may I probably shave my head. But I'm going to worship. Because he's good. And he's faithful. And he's strong and worthy of our worship. And so I intend to be faithful. Will you? Are you living a life of faithfulness? Is faith a characteristic, a virtue others can see in you? Remember, God has not lost control. Do you ever let circumstances determine whether or not you worship? Does your life bless the Lord? Does your life say a good word about him? God is sovereign. Pursue Christ. Live a life of faithfulness.